So for 400 years. 400 years they were in slavery. And the work that they were doing was work that we can't even imagine. And then on top of that, the leader of the world, Pharaoh, added more difficulty to their work. And all along, God had a plan. All along, God had a plan to move them from a mindset of being only slaves. Because if you're in a slavery, if your people are in slavery for 400 years, then you really have that mindset about yourself. It's like, this is who we are. You begin to identify with that with which you've been living for so long. And that speaks to me in and of itself, that sometimes I've lived in certain things in my mind so much that I think that that's just who I am. And isn't it wonderful that we have the answer to the identity crisis in our culture? That people who live in a mindset of some kind of slavery, whether it's to themselves, maybe it's to food, it could be to alcohol or drugs, it could be to pornography, it could be to their children. You can enslave yourself to anything when you take anything that's there and put it above who God is in your life. And the people that the Israelites were enslaved to had all kinds of gods, mostly themselves. And they accepted that kind of lifestyle and life, but God knows there's something better. And so God sent Moses. He didn't want to go. He did not want to go. "Lord, I don't talk too good," he said. "You don't understand me, Lord. You don't get it. I'm not good at this. I can't speak well. So what am I supposed to do?" And I love how God said, "Well, I'm going to send your brother with you." His brother had probably been talking for him all of his life. I don't know. I have no idea. But he sends Moses to Pharaoh to get the people out of Egyptian bondage. And so if you're hearing this story maybe for the first time, I wished I could tell you more detail, but it would take from now to this next Sunday to be able to do that. You don't want to be here that long. You got lunch to do. I got an amen over here somewhere. I don't know. Anyway, so already amen and lunch. It's not even 10:20 yet. Come on, y'all. No, for real. It's this idea that God chose Moses, who didn't want to go do that which God wanted to do for his people. Whole lesson in that. So Moses goes to Pharaoh and he says, "God said, let my people go." God explained to him, when you go, he's not going to know who I am. And Moses said, "Well, who do I say is coming?" He said, "Just say that I am's coming, the eternal one, the one who always has been and always will be." And I'm sure Pharaoh said, "Oh, okay, I understand that." I don't even understand it. I can't expect Pharaoh to understand it. But the one God that you need to be listening to is sending me to get my people out of here, and you need to let them go. And he said what? "Nope, not going to do it. I'm not giving you my millions of people of work, free labor. It's not happening. It's not going to happen." And so God began to send plagues. He sent 10 of them. And every time he'd send a plague, Pharaoh would harden his heart, and he would say no again. And then he would send another plague, and the same thing would happen. It's almost like what's happening in our world. We continue to be plagued with things, and we continue to be thrown things at us when we disassemble ourselves from God, when we disaffiliate with God, and we say, "God, we want you out of our schools, we want you out of our culture, we want you out of our world." And we just be plagued after plagued after plagued. People are plagued with anxiety and depression and addiction and suicide and murder and rape and all the bad stuff that comes into the world, all the bad stuff that's there is because we've declared that we don't need God. And Moses says, "You need to let my people go. It's going to get worse." The plagues he sent were blood, water into blood, frogs. Tabitha would have loved that one. She's not here for me to pick at, but Tabitha's horrified of frogs. Tabitha would have just had a heart attack that day and died. There would have been nothing else left for her after that. She can't stand frogs. Lice or gnats, depends on which translation you read. Either one of them, the way they came, was not what you want in your world. I get angry at one little gnat in my house. How many of you chase a gnat around your house? Where is that gnat? He's usually around the bananas, okay? We're going to find him over there because he likes bananas. But they couldn't see for the gnats. Livestock being sick, boils or sores all over their bodies. Hail came, locusts, and hail destroyed everything. Locusts came, then darkness came. And it's interesting to me that darkness comes right before the worst of all plagues. The Pharaoh would say, okay, I'll let them go. And then he would say, no, I'm not going to let them go. Okay, I'll let them go. Then, no, I'm not going to let them go. And that was his that's the way he operated. And God said, if you don't let them go, I'm going to kill every firstborn male in the country, both of man and livestock. Firstborn male. Except the people who do some things for me. And I just want to tell you, this whole message is really about trusting God. But we're going to add some things. I want to add some things to that to help you kind of see this idea of the Passover story. I want to give you hope today. I want to give you hope that you do not have to live plagued by the things that are in your life anymore. I want you to know that you do not have to be plagued in your marriage. You do not have to be plagued by, oh, by the way, Declan is here today, right? I mean, y'all are all here too, but... There'll be a day when he doesn't have to be plagued with any kind of seizures, and we're thanking God that he's getting better and all those things, and just praise God that y'all are able to be here today, man. We love you guys. Pray for you so much. And there's going to come a time when all that's going to happen. I'm going to show you the way to that today, and we're going to see it in some ways that maybe some of you have never participated in your whole life. I want you to participate today. God set forth of a plan. This whole series is called God's Plan of Redemption. I said last week, if you want to know what redemption means and you don't understand that word, you need to go back and listen to last week's message. To be redeemed is to be purchased by God for his purposes, and he did that through Christ, and we're going to talk about that again today. But just to go ahead and give you a heads up, Jesus is going to be the answer to all these messages, okay? Y'all know that, right? He's kind of like the answer to everything. He's the answer to our life. And you're still groveling around and trying to figure out all these things, and he's the answer. His presence in our life is the answer. Jesus gone Jesus. Y'all saw Chelsea's shirt today. That's what he does. He's going to deliver. And so a lot of preparation had to happen for what's called the Passover. Everybody say Passover. The Passover happened, and you cannot talk about redemption and Bible and bring out stories in the Bible about it, I think, beginning with this one. Because this story began the theme of the Israelites' life and ultimately our life as well. And so there's some things that had to happen in order for Israel to be protected by the death angel. The death angel was going to fly over that night, and all the firstborn male of human life and livestock life was going to die unless some things happened in your life. And the first thing that had to happen was that a lamb had to be sacrificed and the blood had to be applied. Lamb sacrificed, blood applied. If you're taking notes this morning, that's your first note. That's your first note. If you came in this morning and received a worship guide, by the way, can we just, I kind of didn't want to do this, and I kind of do. Let's welcome all of our new people. Can we just welcome you? I'm glad you're here. Sometimes we get focused a lot on that, and I just wanted to, this morning, I got a lot to say, and I wanted to get right into it. Can we welcome our online church as well? Glad you guys here. Glad you guys are here. So some things that happened. The lamb had to be sacrificed and the blood had to be applied. And I can't get into the details because I don't have time to get into the details of all the things they had to do to prepare this little lamb. It's either a lamb or a goat, had to be without spot or blemish, had to be carefully chosen, had to be slaughtered and roasted, and all of it be eaten that night. All of it be eaten that night. And there's purpose behind that. This is what the scripture says. And y'all, even the 22 font's not working anymore, so I'm going to have to put these glasses on. Then I've been printing. I'm gonna have to print my sermon in a 52 font and be one letter per page. Just so if I'm gonna be able to see it without glasses anymore, they're getting worse. The whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or young goat at twilight. They are to take some of the blood, smear it on the sides and the top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. Did I tell you I'm not going to be able to cover all of this story, right? I'm going to tell you three things, and I'm going to parallel them with three things that we have for today. Y'all get what I'm saying? I'm going to give you three things real quick, and then I'm going to give you three things pretty quick that we parallel those to in our day. And again, Jesus is going to be the parallel. Okay, let's go ahead and give you the end at the beginning. So this lamb, it had to be smeared on the doorposts and the door frames of the home for that to happen. So, and I want to tell you, it really wasn't even actually the blood itself that did anything. Because the blood was just sheep's blood and goat's blood, okay? It was the symbolism and the trust that the people had in God to actually do that. I mean, it's going to create curiosity in their children. I'll read that in just a moment. But this idea that, why don't we do that? What's this really weird thing? God, from day one, when he killed animals and gave Adam and Eve something to cover themselves with, he has put sacrifice in order and the idea of sacrifice to be put in so that we would understand why Jesus had to come. That's the point of it all. You want to know the point of the Bible? Jesus, on a cross, resurrected. Death, burial, and resurrection. That's the whole book. That's the whole book. Two rules, one story. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself is the other rule. And the whole story is wrapped up in the Son of God coming to save you. That's why you can die without fear, because you know if you have Christ in your life that you're just going to move to the next place and be with him. I mean, there's so much to say, right? So it wasn't the blood per se, it was their trust in God that was the point. Point number two. And these are the three things. When I was reading Exodus 12 this week, I was just reading it and thinking, and there's a lot of things I could have brought out, but these are the three things that jumped out at me. Lamb sacrifice, blood applied. Second point is this, to be ready for deliverance. You have to be ready. You have to be ready. You've got to prepare yourself for deliverance is the point, right? Scripture says it this way, be fully dressed, wear your sandals, and carry your walking stick in your hand. Sound like they're going on a trip, right? They're going on a trip. They are. Longer than they wanted to go on a trip, to be honest with you. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. Everybody say Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt, strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt, and I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. And I love this phrase, for I am the Lord. Everybody read that with me out loud. Come on, really good. For I am the Lord. And you can say all you want to, the things in your life are Lord over your life, but he is the Lord. You don't have to believe in him. Come on, you can be an atheist if you choose to, but he is still Lord, period. And our culture can deny it, and we can shove him out, and he gives us free will to do that. You can block your heart all you want to, and you can be scared to raise your hand and give your life to Jesus or say, I confess that Jesus is Lord, but he's still Lord whether you say it or not. And when I start living my life that way, and these people, man, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but he says, I am the Lord. Tell him I am sent you because I am the Lord. God's not being arrogant or cocky. He's being truthful. And people will ask you, don't your God seem a little bit arrogant and cocky? No, he's just Lord. He don't have to be arrogant or cocky. He's God. And he's done everything he can to show his humility and his grace and mercy to us, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. He says, but the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign. Everybody say the blood's a sign. The blood's a sign. The blood is always a sign. There's so much blood that flowed in the Old Testament. You read the Old Testament, every time it turned around, they were slaughtering a goat or a sheep or a bull or something and putting it on sacrifice in front of God. And you get to the New Testament and it says the blood of bulls and goats didn't do anything. Poor bulls and goats and sheep, right? It was all useless. Why? Because that blood couldn't do anything. It simply reminded them every year that you're a sinner. Don't you love it when somebody gets in your ear every week and goes, hey, you're a sinner, remember? You're a sinner. That was preaching when I was growing up. It's always every week reminded me how bad I was and what I needed to do to come forward and repent and do something and make it right. It was not much grace and mercy in it at all. It was all about how bad I was and how much I needed to come forward and repent and get it right. By the way, some of you need to repent and get it right. I'm not saying that's not good. That's a good thing. But every week, come on, man. Brent always sends, was it you who sent me to give them heaven, they get hell all week? That's right. And he said, yeah, give them heaven this week, brother. Come on, man, because they get hell all week. That's exactly what happens. We want to come here and get some heaven. We want to come here and get some salvation, right? Because we hear all the other stuff while we're out there, but the blood is going to be a sign, marking the houses where they are staying. He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And for all of you Church of Christ people, you're singing the song already. When I see the blood. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That came out of the sacred hymns. That's the red book if you're in a Church of Christ. We called it the scared selections. We thought sacred was scared. It was the scared selections. It was the book that had the song, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. It's God's eye going, huh, where is that eye, man? I'm scared to death. But we sing those old hymns, and that's a true one. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Right out of the scripture. Right out of the scripture. He said, I will pass over you, and the plague of death will not touch you. Can you understand something? If you're in Jesus, the plague of, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm about to back up. We're still in the Old Testament. Plague of death will not touch you. When I strike the land of Egypt, I'm not going to harm you. They had to get their bodies prepared. They had to get their house prepared. They had to have the blood over the doorpost. They had to be covered in the blood. That was a decision. It's a no-brainer unless you have a hard-headed person in the house. I ain't cutting up no sheep today and put it on my doorpost. Okay. But when you submit to God, there's nothing too crazy he's going to ask you to do. If it's him asking you to do that, their willingness to do what God says showed that they trusted him so that they could do number three, and that is remember to pass it on. Remember and pass it on. After their deliverance and a long wandering in the wilderness, God could have taken them the two-week route. He took them the 40-year route. I would say they take themselves the 40-year route. God took them to the Red Sea so he could show them how powerful he was and he could get Pharaoh off their backs. But the rest of the time, it was their choice to be stubborn-headed, and they just wandered around. And they kept saying these words, why can't we just go back to Egypt? We had food there. We had plenty of stuff there. They wanted to go back to Egypt. You know why? Because God got them out of Egypt, but the Egypt wasn't out of them. They still had that slavery mentality. And we're gonna get there. We're going to connect, okay? God wanted them to never forget. So he said, when you enter the land the Lord has promised to give you, you will continue to observe this ceremony, this Passover ceremony. We want to keep remembering. Then your children will ask, what does this ceremony mean? That struck me. If you guys have come to the Seder, Christian Seder that we do on Monday, Thursday, right before Easter, we do that every year. We'll do it again, Lord willing, next year. And so this idea where when we talk about this very thing, the children say, well, they ask these four questions, and they, well, why do we eat bitter herbs? Why do we do these things? Children are curious. When I was growing up in church, we were told when communion came by, don't you dare touch that communion. It was like sacred, man. It was sacred. You get slapped, pinched, punched, pushed, whatever way you could do. Don't touch the communion. You pass the tray, get it out of your face. If I had ever dared take a cup out of that thing and try to drink it, it would have been sacrilegious in our church. We were pushed away from that. And they had their reasons for that. I think they were wrong reasons, but they had reasons for that. But he's saying here, the children are going to ask, what does this mean? And you will reply, it's the Passover sacrifice to the Lord. You won't say, well, it's that same old story we tell every year. No, it's a sacrifice. He passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt, and though he struck the Egyptians, he spared their families. We were delivered out of slavery. And he told them to their kids so they'd never forget. Never forget. I love Deuteronomy 6 where the Bible says you teach them when they're walking and you teach them when they're laying down. And you teach them when they're going down the road in the car. And you teach them when they're about to get out of the car at school. And, well, Deuteronomy doesn't say that part, but you know what I'm saying? It's everywhere you go. My mom took that super serious. She put little scriptures up all over the house. Reminding. The story has to live on. Now, here's the thing. The rest of the message is really going to be about hindsight, because we, in our 21st century eyes, with Scripture, and we know the Word, and something we don't do a lot, guys, we need to study the Bible more. Y'all need to read your Word. Y'all need to know these stories. All of them. I just started Proverbs again. And I think, man, every time I read Proverbs, I'm reminded again of just how not smart I really am. There's so much wisdom there. And every time I read the Word, I learn something new and grow. Come on, read your Word. So we can look back and we can see that story. We can connect it to Jesus. And those 3 points I just made are about to be made again, except instead of looking back here forward to Christ, I want us to look back from here to Christ, because Christ is the center of it all. If you put the cross of Christ and the resurrection in the center of all time, that's how the world dates time. That's how what we do with that is so important. And if you don't think that way, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, well, we don't believe in God, so we can't really do that. You start unexplaining all of it. You'd have to throw your calendar out the window because it's in the year of our Lord, 2024. Hello? And so the idea is that I want us to look back now. So if we see that they had to put the blood over the doorpost, then we know that Jesus is the sacrificial lamb. Jesus is the sacrificial lamb. He's the point. He's the one. I love, there's lots of passages I could have read here, but my eyes fell on 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you. See, all the time in the Old Testament, they were killing these sheep and goats, and it was pointing to their sin. Every year, they had to go back to Passover and be reminded one more time that their sin was still there. We don't have to do that, because Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. Hebrews says, once and for all. He says here, he says, God has ransomed and saved you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. There's your slavery. If you're living enslaved to this world, that's your choice, but you don't have to. You can live in freedom from this world. You can live in freedom. You can live in the world, but not be of the world, because of the freedom that Christ gives us. He purchased it with his own blood. We don't have to get a goat or a sheep and slaughter it and put it over our doorpost anymore. Jesus did it on the cross and paid for your sins. Y'all will be much happier about it than that. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ. Look at it. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He's known as the Lamb of God over and over again in the New Testament, because God, once again, is reminding us that he's the one that shed his blood for us. God, verse 20, chose him as your ransom long before the world became. I covered that a couple of weeks ago from Ephesians. God, it's one of the second thought. It wasn't something where God had an afterthought. Oh, what am I going to do now? Adam and Eve sinned. He already had it planned what was going to happen. And he knew that you and I would need a Savior. God, but now in these last days, he has revealed it for your sake. Thank God for him revealing it to us. Jesus spilled his blood, and our faith in that is what saves. Can I say that again? Jesus spilled his blood, and our faith in that is what saved. It's part of the reason why the world looks at us and thinks we're crazy. How does blood save? And we look at him and go, by faith. What does that mean? Well, I believe it. I trust it. I don't have to worry about my salvation because I trust his blood's already taken care of that. He's paid the price. And by the way, Christians, we get so used to that we just kind of go through the day and just kind of nonchalantly. I hope every day you take a moment at least and thank him for what he's done. We can't even imagine what would be lost without him. Bible says, for he cleansed their hearts through faith. We believe that we are all saved in the same way by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. That's Acts 15, 19, and 11. He paid the price so I wouldn't have to. Jesus the perfect for the imperfect. Jesus was the substitute. He took your stripes. By his stripes, you are healed. What that means is because he took them, you didn't have to. I don't have to go to hell. I'm not even scared of hell. And by the way, hell is not a place for bad people who do bad things. Hell is a place for people who choose to neglect the payment for their sins and they want to pay for their own sins. It's their just choice. It's a choice. He took our punishment. And you don't have to fear death anymore. You don't have to worry about the sin in your life anymore. You don't have to be perfect in order to get it. You just have to accept the perfect one in order to receive that. And I heard this idea all my life, and I used to preach against it, this idea of receiving Christ. You just receive Christ. You just receive Christ. And I was reading Colossians one day, and this is what it says. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow in him. There it is. Right out of the Word. Could it be that simple? I mean, could it be that God created this crazy way of redeeming us out of our sinful nature, and all he's asking us to do is to accept the gift? That's what it says. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. The friends you choose, the mate you choose, the kind of marriage you have, the kind of life you have, what you do at work, whether or not you obey the rules, whether or not you do what you need to be, all of these things are permeated out of what Jesus says, let us grow up in him, roots be in him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. It's gratitude. Appreciation. It's interesting that we all like to be thanked, but often we take for granted the very greatest possible gift we could ever have, and we forget to say a simple thank you, God. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. His blood saved us, because the next point is this, that Jesus is our deliverer. He's our deliverer. He has delivered us, check it out, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, the movement in the room that's happening right now is because we're about to prepare to do something that we haven't done in a while. I want to go back and I want to read this text again, because I don't want their movement to be a distraction to you to miss the point. Because if you don't get the point, then what we're about to do doesn't mean anything. Jesus is our deliverer. Listen, can I get everybody in the room to just really literally, like, don't look at your notes, don't look at your phone, don't listen to anything. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. I really want you to listen. Listen real close. Without Jesus Christ in your life, whether you know it or not, you're lost. If you're listening online, I'm not trying to be offensive, because if there's anything lost people hate more than anything, it's to be told they're lost. I hated that. Before GPS, man, y'all remember you used to have atlases and trying to find your way somewhere? And it's nothing worse than for somebody in the car to remind me, hey, I think you're lost. No, I'm not. And you passed that same building four times and you hadn't found where you are? Kids these days couldn't even imagine that anymore, because now it just redirects and it just takes you right where you need to go. It's kind of like Jesus in our life. I don't worry about direction in my life anymore, because Jesus has directed my life. It doesn't mean that I always follow it. It just means that I need to be directed that way. Does your GPS ever take you one way and you say, I know a better way? And you take the shortcut? And teach your GPS? Makes you feel powerful, doesn't it? Sorry. He's transformed you. By the power of the Holy Spirit of God, I call on him to come right now into this room and to touch every heart with that message. That without him, you're lost. It's hopeless. If you take your last breath now, without him, eternally, it's going to be hopeless. I'm not preaching hellfire damnation. I'm preaching the truth. And I want you to get it. You know why? Because I want you to walk around without the fear that I know you have inside of you. The fear of what if they're right? You see, if an atheist is right and he dies and I die, no harm, no foul. But if I'm right, such a price to pay that you don't have to pay. Because the good news is Jesus delivered you out of that. Don't lose the moment. Accept Christ. That's the moment. This moment in time is for you online, for everybody in the room, to simply say, I'm going to trust Jesus. And allow the deliverance to be true deliverance. Jesus, we were talking about this before church. You said this earlier, sis. We were talking about healing. And that. When Jesus looked at the guy that was supposed to, I forget what ailment he had. He says, do you want to be healed? When I read that in the scripture, I went, well, duh. The man's sick, Jesus. That's kind of a dumb question for the Almighty to be asking somebody. But he's the Almighty and I'm not. And I think the reason he asked him is because if the man said yes, his life was going to be transformed as soon as he was healed. He couldn't beg anymore. He couldn't get freebies from everybody anymore. It wasn't about what everybody could do for him because he was in an ailment situation. He had to go to synagogue. He had to get back into life. He had to go get a job. He had to move in his life. And some of you are not afraid of Jesus. You're afraid of the change in your life that's going to come when he steps foot in your life. You're scared to death of it. I remember thinking, oh, man, I can't smoke anymore if I get Jesus in my life. I love smoking cigarettes at times. There was a time in my life where I enjoyed that. A good cigarette was a pleasure to me. But I thought, if I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm going to do what God's calling me to do, I can't really do that and be the best. You can go to heaven, I guess, and smoke, but I'm saying I could be the best example for me. It was in my life. That was my choice. Cussing was hard, man. Still is. There's still days, man, when I just, no, I'm not going to say that word. It's hard. But I thought, if I give my life up to Jesus, hey, listen, then I'm going to have to change. The deliverance has to be real. The transformation has to come. But when it did, and when it does, I cannot tell you the joy in my life, the freedom to tell my friends, no, I don't do that anymore. You know why? Because now I truly love Jesus. I want to do what he's asking me to do. My life became transformed. And God is just saying, listen, I can get you out of Egypt, but you have to decide to let the Egypt get out of you. You have to make that decision. Prayer team, y'all need to be taking place. Go ahead. The prayer team's all around this room. And I'm just going to call you out on this. I'm going to call you out to say, listen, before we take another step forward, before we move forward into anything else today, these people are coming. They're going to come down and receive communion first. And this is what you're going to do in a moment, okay? You just watch what they do. You're going to come down and receive and go back to your seat and partake with your family or however you choose to do that. And if you're in the room today and you're saying, I don't really know what this is all about, well, let me tell you, first of all, you need to trust Christ. You need to trust Christ. And if you've already trusted in who Jesus is, you come to him and you're following him in your life, then you already know what this is about. It's a remembrance. It's a remembrance. I've always taught since we've been a church that we believe in open communion. Because when I was a kid, it was not open. It was a scary moment for me. It's like I told you, I was slapped away, pushed away. No, no, no. You had to be a baptized believer to get there. I want to tell you the truth behind that, though. If you're not a believer, the meal doesn't mean anything. I want you to come partake, and I want you to get a taste of what this is like. But I want you to be a believer in the moment. You guys at home, you say, well, man, I'm not prepared for communion. This is going way beyond some of y'all's comfort zones. I don't believe it's about necessarily what's in these trays. I believe it's about what's in this heart that matters. So if you're at home and you don't have unleavened bread and grape juice like we do, it's okay. Get something. I want you to observe from your heart. I don't want you to think about, oh no, the emblem's not right. We grew up being taught more about the it of communion. Do it right. Say it right. Say the incantations right. Make sure it's this. Make sure it's not that. And do it exactly right. Then we forgot the hymn, the one we were serving, the one we were worshiping in communion. I could tell you stories. I want you to feel free. Bring your children up here when we do this. I want you to, because here's the point. The point is this. We will never forget. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes and out loud say to Jesus, we will never forget. Say it again. We will never forget. Lord, we will never forget you. We will never, ever forget that you came, that you lived a sinless life, that you came and were perfect in everything you did. And you laid your life down. And you suffered. And you bled. And you suffocated for 6 hours. Lord, we will never, ever forget that. And every time we commune, and every time we come together, Father, we will remember the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians, for I pass it on to you what I have received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You're saying in essence, Lord, you're saying through your word, don't ever forget. Always remember what I did for you. So God, today, we partake of the bread, remembering the body of Christ, that which was sacrificed for us at Calvary. And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Lord, you sealed it in your own blood, your perfect Lamb of God, sinless blood. You sealed it in that. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink of it. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the sacrifice. We thank you for the love. We thank you for caring about us so much that when we partake of this meal, when we partake of these emblems, when we put them into our bodies, that our remembrance goes back to the shed blood of Christ and the body that was given for us at Calvary. In Jesus' name I pray. Please stand to your feet. Whenever you feel comfortable, please, this side, go to this side, please. This side, go to this side. And if you guys in the middle want to just split, go one each side or whatever, this will take a moment. We're going to take a moment. I think we're staying online, right, Nemo? We're staying online. We are going to stay online. We want you guys at home to experience this time with us as we partake, as we receive, as we observe communion. Please don't be afraid. Please don't. You're just going to come down and get a cup and a little piece of bread and go back to your seat. You're welcome to eat this with your spouse, your friends, you're just alone by yourself or whatever, but please do not miss this opportunity to be able to do this. Just please come down and receive the emblems and then go back and sit right back down. If you want to go pray, please, our prayer team is waiting on you. This is a moment and time when you can pray. If you want to come down here and pray with me, I'll pray with you, whatever.
cross I'm reconciled.
Children, we teach it to our neighbors. Sometimes you say words and sometimes you just live your life and people go, what are you doing? And you get to share it that way and you tell your story. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, the word says therefore go. It's really therefore as you are going. It's while you're moving through life every day. As you are going, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By the way, today, if today was the first day you accepted Christ, as the Word said, your next step is water baptism. And I'll say this, I said this to somebody yesterday, that baptism, sometimes it can almost get lost in the whole idea of this story. But exactly, when we take someone and we bury them in water, and we raise them back up, all we're doing is telling the story all over again, just like we did here. It's not a ceremony. This is a ritual. Not all rituals are bad. When you connect them to Christ the way we have today, this cracker and this grape juice or whatever you guys used at home becomes emblematic of who Jesus is in our life, and we tell the story all over again. We pass it on. So baptism is a vital part of all of this story. Do not forbid that command in your life. If you need to do that, we can set that up for you. Just let us know. Let us know. He goes on to say, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. Ensure of this and be sure of this. And I love how Jesus left them. I'm with you always. The end of the age could come in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, Scripture says. We are in the last days, however you argue it, whether you're premillennial, postmillennial, amillennial, I'm panmillennial. I believe it's all going to pan out one way or the other. And when he blows that trumpet, however it happens, I just want to be in his world, in his life. I want to be completely surrendered to him. At this point, I'm selfishly stalling. Because I don't want to leave. you guys, man, when we come together like this, I used to think I had to go to church. Now it's just like a moment in time in my life every week. People say, how you feeling, man? I feel great. I got the Christmas tree down by myself out of the attic yesterday. Everybody thinks I'm like, and I am. And Liz was like, I told you I'd help you do that. I said, I know, but I had to want to do it myself. I don't want to leave because when I get out of here sometimes, I get like you do. I get in my thoughts, and I get in my feels, and I get in my world, and I tend to forget, but I don't want to forget. But I got to let you go. We get to do it again next week, God willing. Or if he comes before then, we'll get to do it with him in the kingdom. And that's all right with me. It's all right with me. If you're hurting in any way that we can help, please don't leave the room today or don't leave today without coming and letting us know what we can do to pray over you and to bless your life. Can I just pray a general prayer over you now as we dismiss? Father God, you're amazing. We love you and honor you and praise you. Thank you for the cross of Calvary and the resurrection. For without it, we'd be lost. So God, today, go with us like you said you would. You would never leave us nor forsake us. I'll be honest, sometimes it feels like you're a long ways away. But I know really you're not. You're right here in my heart. You're here with me through the power of your Spirit. I receive your healing today, God. Receive your blessing today. I pray that everyone in this room will receive as well. We love you, Lord. We bless you in Jesus' name. You guys who are partners, don't forget to give as you leave. If you do the box, the black box in the back. If you're a guest and you filled out a connection card, I didn't even talk about that today. Sometimes I forget because I want to get into this stuff. But if you would, please fill out a connection card and put it in those little black boxes back there, and we'd love to contact you just to connect. That's all that is. We love you. We hope you'll come back. If you're brand new with us or if you've been here a few times or whatever, it's just an honor to have you here. We love you. Y'all have a great Sunday, great rest of your week. God bless you.